The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I did taught a half day retreat at IMC over the weekend, and I think I called it refining your meditation practice. And when I set about kind of preparing notes for that, it was very hard to know where to begin, because meditation is so many things. It was kind of absurd that I thought, okay, I got 4 hours refining your meditation practice. But it's like meditation is so many things. It's so hard to even talk about all the dimensions of the path. And it's easy to be kind of reductionistic about it, that meditation is about training the attention, or a training in being present, or a training in reactivity, non-reactivity, or love, or whatever it may be. And it's like, yes and no. The practice has so many facets. It works on our being in so many ways. And that's important for us to understand, because in an important sense, there are many ways to win, many ways to win. And to understand all the ways to win allows us to begin to trust how the meditation is arising on this particular day, in this week, in this year. So meditation is a way of deeply resting. We get so little true rest. And we, of course, soothe ourselves with streams of data, and our attention goes slack, but that's the rest of delusion. And I'm not dismissive of it, you know. I might help myself to a little portion of it later. But it's the rest of delusion. And we tend to associate rest with unconsciousness. But the deepest rest is very awake. And much of our psychological pain involves some measure of hyperarousal, right? When we think back on our life, it's like, how many terrible decisions have you made when you were super tranquil, alert, but deeply soothed, right? But of course, the path is more than that. If we only understand meditation as the path of peace, we have no idea how to make peace with the gravitational pull of greed, hate, and delusion. And so we habituate, become deeply tolerant of the impelling forces of dukkha. The kind of siren call becomes less and less enchanting. And part of why we become deeply tranquil is so that there's so much space and so much steadiness in which the pain can be digested. You know, greed, hate, delusion hurt. Not acting them out really hurts. And so we become steady, tranquil, less and less intimidated by unpleasantness. Meditation is a kind of deep gratitude practice. And, you know, I've always been, there's a good amount of, you know, in the kind of positive psychology literature and things to do to potentiate your well-being, gratitude practices comes up often as like, oh yeah, doesn't have huge effects, but it's consistent. But I've always been a little allergic to gratitude practices that seem to paper over suffering, you know, the kind of, there's a kind of the facile version of gratitude that tries to forget death. And then there's the gratitude, you know, that arises out of a sense of finitude. And gratitude only feels genuine to me, only feels like a real refuge when you're also unafraid of pain. Reading this Samantha Harvey book, Orbital, a story told from the perspective of astronauts. And so she writes, the Earth from here is like heaven. It flows with color, a burst of hopeful color. When we're on that planet, we look up and think heaven is elsewhere. But here is what astronauts and cosmonauts sometimes think. Maybe all of us born to it have already died and are in an afterlife. If we must go to an improbable, hard to believe in place when we die, that glassy, distant orb with its beautiful, lonely light shows could well be it. Meditation is a way of understanding ourselves more deeply. I think the Tibetan word for meditation is familiarization. And although we live with ourselves, we inherit so many tropes of what it is to be human. And the kind of egoic pressures, the kind of self-curation process further compromises our willingness to look clearly, deeply. But as a friend said, like, if you want to understand yourself, you will. And if you don't, you won't. And that really is the dividing line. Are we willing to understand ourselves, or are we doing something different? In this study of ourselves, we learn a tremendous amount about peace and suffering. And happiness can kind of camouflage agitation, dysregulation, but peace cannot. You know, in peace, we simply don't need anything to happen. Yuval Harari says, I would say if you really want to explore reality, the best place to start is with suffering, because it's the most real thing in the world. With happiness, very difficult to tell. Many times people will tell themselves, oh, I'm very happy. And actually, they're not. With suffering, it's usually much easier to know. The cause of the misery may be an illusion, or several illusions stuck on top of one another. But the actual experience for the person, this is the reality. Peace, the dissolving of suffering, is self-validating. Peace leaves no doubt. Meditation is the cultivation of 100 species of goodness. So many beautiful qualities of the heart get obscured in our agitation and our fear. And we come to recognize goodness because it doesn't create friction in our body. It feels aligned with the architecture of our nervous system. There's a sense of like, yeah, I can rest here. Hatred is no place to rest. It's no place to rest. I can rest here, this goodness. We develop satiety with the moment. The moment satiates our heart. Just this is enough. Call it samadhi, kind of unification of the mind. And it's profoundly useful for most everything. Most everything. And the effect of samadhi will tends to amplify experience, meaning that it makes even subtle pleasure more deeply satisfying. And then it also illuminates the burdens on our heart we didn't know we carried. Meditation shows us a path of letting go. And even though it appears in virtually every moment of our life, we have almost a sense of incredulity in the face of unpleasantness. You know, it's like, how did this happen? That's some part of me. It's just like, how did this happen again? It happened the last second too, but how did it happen again and again? It's kind of unbelievable quality, unpleasantness, sense of the universe off its rails. Okay. We lay down preference, you know. That's profoundly simplifying. Just for this moment, not forever, just for this moment. But if this moment were forever, yeah, I could be at peace. Meditation is about the present, but also about reliving the past in light of pristine awareness, of extracting all the wisdom of the past, everything that we might have learned, everything that we feel we have not yet learned. Meditation helps us learn. And in that learning, we begin to dispel all the points of identification, all the points of identification that we thought, I am my past, I am that. What does that mean about me? I think in the EU, there's some digital law about the right to be forgotten, you know, kind of on the internet. Yeah, meditation frees us actually up to forget. It's an encounter with mortality and changingness and the inevitability of loss. It is kind of therapy for our existential condition. We're invited into a deep inquiry, what would make life complete? Agnes Callard, she kind of, a philosopher, she said that in death, there's like the fear of missing out, right? FOMO, but also the fear of not arriving. What would it be to arrive? What would I have to know or do or love in order to feel like, yes, this life is complete or arrived? And once we arrive, every other day is gravy. And so meditation is all these things, and I'm just getting going. It's all these things. It's hard to know how to teach it, but we just muddle through. We find more and more ways to win, to come to trust our path. Offer this for consideration. See you next time.